Okay, so for starters, would you identify yourself, please?
I'm Zeke Buck, and I play guitar and do some singing with VHS Abeta.
So when you go on Google to do a search for the band, we've got to figure something out there, don't we? It's kind of funny because you get some great discounts on stuff.
It used to be a lot worse when we first started, but it's actually a lot better now.
A lot more press, so it's moving up the... But it's kind of weird, because this is what our society has done now. You know, you go to look up a band, and if you don't know the record company, you go to Google.
Right. It's pretty hard to find some bands, of course. Stranger the name, better chance you have.
So the band used to be a completely different band called La Funk.
No. We've always been VHS Abeta.
Explain the bio to me, because the bio is very confusing.
Okay, there's four original members of the band.
Right.
It's the core, it's two guitars, bass, drums. This is actually our fourth release. Night on Fire is the first one, was a self-titled debut. It was very noise punk. The second release was more kind of in a vein, more post-punk, in the vein of kind of like Kraftwerk, Gang of Four area, and that was On and On. It was Clear Vinyl release. The first release was actually released on VHS tape.
So this is the first, quote, non-indie major release.
Yeah, definitely. And Le Funk, the thing you referred to earlier, was actually the record prior to Night on Fire, and it was mainly a kind of disco house record, more track-oriented, less vocal. So it was actually the first album that departed from vocals for the most part.
Night on Fire, you know, you put it on, and, well, I'm not going to do the influences thing yet. Let's talk about the album a little bit, just in general, you know, the title and all of that, and even the band name. Let's go through all the you know, VHS or Beta 101.
The band name started probably like all band names do. You know, you're sitting around a table for hours trying to figure out a name that suits. VHS Abeta was actually a name that the bass player and I had in a band, and he actually came up with the name, and we never used it. It was just something we toyed with, and then in discussion when we were trying to come up with a name, that was mentioned, and no one hated it, so it stuck. It wasn't until later that we actually kind of grew into the name. And it actually started making more sense. It's kind of a yin-yang, you know, rock versus dance, etc. You know, dark and pop, you know. So that's how the name started. We actually started as a band in 1997, so we've been around for 8 years.
It's kind of amazing to me that there are so many bands that it's only one of two things these days. It's we formed a year ago, we played in a club in Leeds, we got lucky, someone discovered us, we now have 6 songs, and we have barely enough to make a set, and here we are.
It's a demo genre right now. But it's really there's a lot of great bands that you're hearing, but it's kind of sad in a way, because I don't think they have, you know, too much of a grassroots following, and I'm kind of anxious to see what happens 2 years, 3 years from now.
Yeah, I won't even mention their name, but I just went to go see a British band that was doing a, you know, major magazine party that I interviewed, British band, and they're big over there, and they have 4 singles, and there were 15 people there.
Right. It's going to be tough. It really is. You have got a lot of American bands that are doing the same thing across seas. It's, you know, it's going to be really tough unless they've got a really good machine behind them, pushing them.
And you do with Astral Works. You're playing tonight in quite the lineup.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. Astral Works is a label we tried to get it on for years, so it was nice to finally be accepted to them. They've got a very eclectic mix of music.
It is. It's very, yeah. It's pretty. I mean, you look at the lineup just of people tonight. You know, Graham Copskin and you and 2220s. It really is a very interesting mix.
Yeah, it's great. And we've got friends. You know, Radio 4, longtime friends of ours.
We interviewed how many weeks ago? Three, about a month ago. Yeah, great guys.
Oh, tremendous.
And a great album too.
Yeah, very good album. And
you can play the two. In fact, I've played the two of you together quite often.
Oh, good. Yeah. We toured with them for a while back in the day. We actually had some shows with Hot Hot Heat and a few other bands. So, yeah, it was a great time.
Absolutely. So you had some pretty amazing producers on the album. Tell me about Adam and Martin.
Really nice guys. It was
how great. Did they really, because you mentioned, you know, obviously it's the first major label. So you had the sound since 97. Did they really produce the sound, or?
It was interesting. Martin, I think, comes more from the a pure side of music, whereas Adam Dorn is more, you know, the electronic motion worker stuff. So it was an interesting duo, and we chose them because for Le Funk we worked with two producers. You know, one that was more rock savvy, one that was more dance savvy. So it seemed kind of the way to go. With any producers you work with, I think you're always going to have your differences.
How severe were these?
Probably a little bit more severe with me than the others, I think.
What did they? Okay, so from the guitarist's point of view, what did they?
I think I was pushing more, and I stand by it still. I was pushing more. We all, as a band, come from the whole Sonic Youth side of things, and I don't think.
As opposed to that other side, which I'm going to get to in a second, which is where a lot of the PR is, obviously.
Yeah, but so I really was wanting to push for a little bit more tooth for the record, and I don't really. I think it was achieved on a few tracks, and those tracks I think are my favorite tracks on the record. They definitely were really good at capturing the kind of pop side, but I think the songs that there was a lot of tension for me were the ones that I think lacked tooth and they needed more, and there was a lot of conflict. So
yeah, and so let's kind of go there, because you know the descriptions, of course. You know, I know now that I'm interviewing you, it's going to be even more interesting to ask these questions, but, you know, the rock band that does dance, and then, of course, all the comparisons to all the influences, which no one can write an article these days, you know, about a band that does have, like a Radio 4 or like a VHS or Beta, and you both share this, where the music is imminently danceable, but it is rock music, and yet then they immediately say, well, you know, between New Order and Depeche Mode and blah, blah, blah. So tell me a little bit about reaction to all of that and who you really, because you just mentioned Sonic Youth, and Sonic Youth is a far, far cry from those other bands that I just mentioned.
Like you said, any band nowadays are going to be labeled to another band. It's inevitable. But I think people that spend a lot of time with our record and that have been with us over the past 8 years have kind of seen the evolution of things, and it makes a little bit more sense. The Sonic Youth side really comes from, I think we've got three maybe heroes in music. I think it's Smashing Pumpkins, Sonic Youth, and Daft Punk. And I think really those are our three strongest influences. And we had a lot of other influences along the way. Melt Banana early on was a really big influence for us, and they're very like noisecore, you know, kind of Japanese punk music. Texturally, I think we really relate a lot to Sonic Youth, and that's kind of how we started to explore house music and on instruments, because we heard all these like incredible sounds, you know, emanating from like techno and just different types of house music. And so the initial action wasn't to abandon our usual set of like guitars, bass, and drums, but try to emulate as best as possible. And that's where the whole Sonic Youth kind of mindset kind of kicked in.
Wow, so that is so different than a lot of the press that has found its way out.
Well, press tend to look at vocals and then examine the bands based purely on vocals alone. And you know, it's a misnomer. It's something that everybody really tends to do. Sometimes it's a little frustrating, but you can't avoid it, and you just kind of have to nod your head and just kind of move on. But our music definitely isn't The Cure or Depeche Mode or anything like that. I mean, we do love those groups, and we aren't ashamed to say there are some influences, but it isn't the influence.
No, and it's good to hear that, because I think people will now listen to the music in a different way after they hear the interview. So on to some of the music. No Cabaret, kind of a bold political statement about what has happened in New York for a while there. So tell me a little bit about that.
No Cabaret lyrics were Craig's lyrics, for the record. Yeah, he was reacting basically to the, you know, No Cabaret law in New York City, and I'm not really sure his intentions on it, but I related to it in the fact that, you know, you had a rave scene going on in France, and it was kind of a similar circumstances. You had this rave scene that where the cops were always kind of infiltrating the scene, and then there was a reaction to that, which was, you know, French house, and a lot of the other kind of house that was going on at the time. What's going on, man? And friends from back home.
There you go.
So I think it was kind of a nod, I think, in a way to French House, and it was also kind of a reaction to what was going on in New York City, because it's silly. But in a way,
New York of all places, right?
Exactly, and France of all places, and, yeah. You know. But it's silly in retrospect and hindsight, but it's also kind of nice that you have something to push against, that you have something to react against, and it creates a lot of good music and it creates a lot of good lyrics. So it
works. So now I'm confused. The band is originally from fill in the blank.
Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky.
But people perceive you as coming from
New York City.
See, I got the crossword puzzle right. So now fill in all those blanks between Kentucky and New York.
The whole New York, Kentucky
thing.
Not
a big scene in Kentucky, so.
Well, actually, you know what? Kentucky has a huge scene. Kentucky's really been known for indie rock. We've given birth to bands like Slint, Rodan, the Rachels, you know, a very strong indie grassroots following. And of course, you have all these sibling bands, you know, that pop out. You have one person from Louisville, another person from Chicago, and you put them together and you get Subido or Palace Brothers. And Louisville's a really great place for music. Dance music, not so much. It's never been that way. But like even now, you've got a band like My Morning Jacket, who we all love, great friends of ours, and they're amazing. Our friends Christensen just popped by. They're more kind of, you know, maybe emo. And so it's got a great scene. It really does. The people that are indie rock fans definitely know Louisville, and it's on the map for them. Louisville and Chicago.
But if you want to get the music way out there, you have to...
Probably go to the bigger cities, yeah.
Yeah. Which is not a good thing, necessarily, but it's kind of interesting that obviously talent scouts don't... I mean, I guess they should, right? Kind of hit places where that way it's not going to sound like everything else.
I think, you know, talent scouts definitely move with the times. They want the sure shot. You know, they don't want to bet on that 15-1 horse, but... I think that's what things like South by Southwest are for. It's kind of a chance to see all those weird bands from all over the world. And it's kind of a great place. It's kind of a melting pot for that.
I mean, it is kind of interesting because you are on a very, very British lineup tonight. Mm-hmm. So people highly suspect probably that you're...
Yeah, probably from New York or London or...
Yeah. Yeah, and yet it's... I think that what happens obviously in England now is, you know, a band comes out of Leeds or a band comes, well, obviously the Manchester, but now they're coming out of, you know, even some of the smaller places. And what's happening is I think it was the Kaiser Chiefs who told me that every single band in Leeds, they're hanging outside the clubs now and saying, okay, you're a band, you're from Leeds, you're where we came from, so can we sign you?
Right, exactly.
So maybe we can get that with Kentucky.
Kentucky's been declared kind of a mecca for music. I don't know if I quite believe that, but like I said, it does have a great, it's a great place for music, mainly in the fact that it's so cheap to live. There's not a whole lot to do there, so you put the two together and...
Well, that's the big theory in general, is that small industrial cities in particular are the ones that breed the best rock. That's why Manchester and all of those places.
Especially now, so with the internet. I mean, you can actually research all the music that's going on out there. You're not limited to what's just around you. You can actually be exposed to bands in New York and in Britain. And
So people who have a perception already, what's going to most surprise them about when you play tonight? What's going to make them, is it going to be longer in the tooth, as you said? Is it going to be harder edge than I would suspect, having now listened to the and played the CD?
I don't know where people are right now. I don't know how many people haven't heard us.
But in terms of your live performance, what's going to surprise people?
I think in the past, when we were doing like funk, it really surprised a lot of people. The first few years of South by Southwest, we got really great response. And because, you know, people didn't know we were doing all the real instruments. I'd like to think this record is a lot more in the rock vein. And it definitely still holds true to the kind of the track mindset of Les Funk. But I don't know if people will be as surprised as they used to be. We'll see. I'm not sure.
It'll be interesting. I'll be here to see it.
But too, I mean, you play music for so long, you're doing your music, you don't know how different it is until you hear it from the mouths of others. So to us, we're just another band.
So the last thing that I like to do, which is kind of a trademark and people usually think it's pretty fun, is we do a musical sandwich. What I want to do is, and then we're going to take an entire hour of the show and dedicate it to VHS or Beta. So what we like to do is pick two songs of the bands and make those the bread of the sandwich, and then in between, anything you've always wanted to hear with your music, no matter what it is, we'll put it together and we will segue it for the second half hour of the hour that we spend on the band.
Okay.
Makes it fun.
The Ocean, for one side of things. You Got Me, for more of the pop side. And in between there, Dynamize. Dynamize or Night Waves, you figure it out. They're both two completely different songs. They're both very track oriented. Dynamize being more of the rock heavy, Night Waves being more of the house heavy.
Got it.
As far as different songs, I'm probably the worst person to ask as far as song names.
Oh, that's okay. Just groups. You can even hit me with groups, and I will just pick something that will work. And it tends to, and we've done that before, and it always blows me away how it all just works.
Okay. Well, there's the new track off the Daft Punk record
was
sampled from Breakwater. So I would do the Breakwater track. Anything from Cat Power. Trying to think of where everybody comes from. Most of us love Ryan Adams. My Morning Jacket, of course, you have to throw something by them. Ravenettes, Jesus Mary Chain.
Ravenettes, that new track's great. Can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Great band.
Yeah.
Trying to think, old or new?
Anything you want.
I'm a huge Echo and the Bunnymen fan now. Throw them in there, throw in some Def Leppard.
There you go. I love the wild cards.
Well, actually, if you listen to that stuff, it makes sense. Def Leppard, Boston, is actually in our music.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not.